Whatever you got, let's hold it up. If you believe it, let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of James? Book of James, chapter 5. Just want to read one verse before we get into today. James chapter 5. The bottom half of verse 16 says this: the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Would it be correct to say the prayer of a righteous woman is powerful and effective? Yes, because the Greek word for man is person, human. It includes men, women, children, aged, young. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. One simple question: how many of you believe that when you pray, your prayers are so powerful and so effective that massive things change when you pray? Just raise your hand, would you? All 10 of you, let's bow in prayer. Father, I do want to thank you that you have made a way for us not to have to go through a pastor, to go through a priest, to go through anybody else to get into your presence. You have made a way for us as your kids to run boldly into the Oval Office of heaven, to jump onto your lap, and to make our request known to you. I thank you that we have a revelation that you as a father love to hear the cry of our heart. You love to hear as we cast our concern on you because you care for us. And I thank you that your heart is to answer and to respond more powerfully than we are even wanting to ask. I pray today as we move into a time of prayer that you would give us a revelation of how powerful and how effective our prayers as your children are. Before we begin, Father, I ask for a fresh anointing. I ask you just literally possess my mind, my mouth, every part of me. Holy Spirit, I surrender myself to your lordship. Be my spirit guide. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic entity, every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and steal the seed and distract and confuse. I bind you. I command you to release every person under the sound of my voice and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. I declare today that your words will be heard and understood and will bring transformation because of revelation. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody believing said, amen. Today we need to do something a little bit different than normal. And I'm believing that you are fully prepared for it. There is a number of things that are going on in our world today that if the enemy had his way, and he's having his way a great deal, that we wouldn't even know about, we wouldn't even be concerned about. We wouldn't even think about the fact that we have the ability to impact things all across the globe right from where we are. And so if he can keep us ignorant, then we remain ineffective. I love the missionary stories where the missionaries come back and talk about the day that they were in their hut and all of a sudden they heard noise and lights in the middle of the night and they were surrounded by cannibals who came to kill them, and all of a sudden they were coming, they were standing there, and all of a sudden the cannibals dropped all of their weapons and ran away. And they were like, thank you, Lord. And a year later, 2 years later, they come home on furlough and they're talking in a church about the occasion, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and goes, can I ask you, was that on July 7th, 2014? Did that happen about 3 a.m? And they go, that's exactly when it happened. They go, God woke me up, laid upon my heart that I needed to pray and war for you. And in that moment, the cannibals dropped and ran. Can you imagine if they hadn't heard? And if they did hear, if they went, I'm sleeping through that sucker. Can you imagine what would have happened? I got to tell you one crazy thing I pray, and I tell Jane this all the time. And I'm not asking you to do what I do. I am asking the Holy Spirit to bring me to a place where I can actually see into the spiritual realm. When I pray, I want to see if my prayers just drop dead to the ground and are powerless, or I want to see the effectiveness of what I pray and how I pray. I believe if I could see that in the spiritual realm, my prayer life would be totally different. Can you imagine getting to a place and just praying and you watch your prayers just fall to the ground and the demons are laughing and nothing changes? Can you imagine? I think we'd have a revelation of going, I guess I won't pray that anymore because it's not really effective. Can you imagine if we had a time of prayer and we were praying and we saw stuff go out and accomplish and kill and free and whoa! We'd go, I'm doing that again. I'm asking the Lord to bring me to a place of seeing the effectiveness of my prayer. I'm asking to begin to see past the flesh realm. That's what I'm asking for. And I believe it's going to come. We have had a revelation that there's power in our spoken word. That is why the majority of us have learned to shut up. That's why the majority of us have learned to use duct tape. That's why the majority of us have learned to stop talking negative, to stop talking death, to stop talking what is, because we're getting a revelation of the power of the spoken word, life and death. And can I just tell you, just again, this past week, had somebody who went and visited family, and they come back and they go, I cannot believe the amount of death that is spoken in my family of origin. It was like they were swearing all weekend long. Grew up in it. Never knew any different. Transformed in their own life, go back to the Egypt and are hearing all of the death. And going, I am not doing that anymore. Brackish water and death and cursing is not coming out of my mouth. I will never again be a person who declares what is. I'm not going to do it. Flesh people declare what is. Faith people declare what's not yet, as though it already were. Let the weak say I am weak, right? No. Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. We've got a revelation of that. And if you're like me, you had to go through a transformation of going, oh my goodness, I got to hear what I'm saying because I haven't heard it for years. My spiritual ears have been plugged. And then when I say it, I have an awesome wife who goes, do you want me to agree with that confession? And I go, I hear what I... No! I renounce that in Jesus' name. And I get to the point where the Holy Spirit's able to do that without the Holy Spirit of my wife. I will never forget the day at Rita Nybax. A group of about 30 of us were sitting there in a midweek meeting, and we gave each other permission to hold us accountable for what was coming out of our mouth. Some of you were there. And some of you took that serious. Because some of you came to me when you heard me say something and go, Pastor Call, you committed in that meeting. And when you said this, and I went, thank you. I repent of saying that. And I have come to some of you. And just let me say this to you, if somebody loves you, when you're speaking death, they will come to you. If they couldn't care less, if you kill yourself, kill your marriage, kill your health, kill your words, kill your whatever with your word, when they hear it, they'll back away and go, I'm not saying anything. Let them die in their own words. Not in this body. We've come to a revelation of the power of the spoken word. I'm asking for a revelation of the power of my prayer life. I want to see it. I want it to be powerful. I want it to be effective. And we'll talk more about that. I first want to say bless you. Last Sunday we talked about our city council in Camrose having a meeting on Tuesday evening. It was a closed meeting because of the paranoia that's going on. They didn't allow anybody to come physically, but they did open it up for emails. They did open it up for response. I want to say bless you that the flood came in as people wrote letters, as people sent emails, and our city council responded to that flood and turned down the proposal to make masks mandatory. They turned it down. I want you to understand again, in the political realm, when somebody makes a phone call or sends a letter, they receive it as though 100 people in the community have the same opinion. I understand they received a little over 80 emails. And my thought was, almost all of them came from this church. But in the political realm, if they received 80, that means they believed 8,000 people in our community had the same opinion about mandatory mask wearing, and they voted it and said, in Camrose and County, it will not be mandatory. Praise God. Can I just say to you, there is power in the spoken word. Can I say to you, the day of the church being silent in the arena of our communities and in politics is over. Whoever lied to us and told us there is no mixing of church and state, that lie from the pit of hell is broken. So I want to say bless you. You know who you are. Those of you who wrote the email, those of you who sent in your facts, you sent in your whatever, bless you. Bless you for waiting on the Lord, for hearing what he wanted you to say, putting it on paper, praying over it before it went, and letting it have its full effect. Bless you, those of you. And can I say this? This won't be the last time. This is a practice run. And for those of you who missed out this time, whether fear, forgetting, whatever, there'll be another opportunity. It's coming around the corner. So don't feel like you missed out big. You did, but there'll be another one. So I want to say bless you. Today there are four things that God laid in my heart that we need to highlight. It's going to be a little different today. I'm going to talk a little bit about them, but I'm going to be showing you. I want to show you four clips. And I'll tell you what God laid upon my heart. There are things happening around this world, and with eyes wide open, we are beginning to see things falling into place. And again, I want to tell you, I don't care if the rapture happens this afternoon or 100 years. I really don't care. What I care about is that what the Holy Spirit is laying upon my heart for today's obedience, I hear it and I do it. I couldn't care less if he comes back at 4 this afternoon. I'm going to go, God, what do you want me to be about until 4 this afternoon? That's all I'm concerned about. If it's 100 years, I want to be faithful every day of my life, going to God saying, God, what's the agenda for today? I'm going to fulfill it. I'm not going to park on a roof and wait for a date and a time for the alarm to go off and go, where's the boat? I'm not doing that. What is the term? Occupy till he comes. But in the midst of this, we need to be aware and we need to be effective. I got to give you one quick example before we begin. The enemy would lie to us and go, you know, in sleepy little Camrose, and I'm a farmer, or I work from home, or I work in a little, how can I affect the globe? How can I affect people? How can I be? I love this story because it comes from my hometown of Westlock, where a 60-year-old man works in the grain elevator in Westlock. He's about 63 right now. Worked in a grain elevator, works presently in a grain elevator. And he was like most of us who are above 40. How many of you are above 40, are fluent on the computer? Just fluent, above 40. You're fluent. Okay, a few. How many of us went, gee, I hope I die before I have to get really good on this thing? How many of you? Yeah, the majority of us, right? The young generation, they pick it up and somehow their brain just goes. I mean, I still do. I stuff on my cell phone. I give it to my kids and go, how do I do this? And they show me, and I'm having revelations after revelation. I learned how to text about 9 years after I had a cell phone. Don't judge me. This 60-year-old man, he had grandchildren who were living in different parts of Canada, and his heart was, I want to connect with my grandkids, so if I'm going to do that, I have to learn how to game. Did you hear me? As a 60-year-old, to connect with his grandkids, he goes, if I'm going to connect with them, I need to learn how to game. Now, some of us go, gaming is of the devil. Well, you know what? Sometimes, if that is where our grandkids are at, we need to become all things to all men in order to remove them from those things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can stand in your church ivory tower all you want and call your grandkids to come in. They're not coming. You got to go to where they are. Someone made a statement and said, don't ever expect anybody to care about what you think until, or don't know. How's it go? It was such a good saying. Yes. Say that again. No. Something about they will only care about what you think when they know how much you care for them. I'll get it later. I'll text you tonight at 3 a.m. No, I won't. The reality is they need to know we care. This 60-year-old grandfather went, you know what? I got to connect with my grandkids. In order to do that, I got to learn how to use a computer. And to do that, I got to learn how to game. This 60-year-old crossed out of his comfort zone, learned how to do the computer, learned how to get onto gaming, shocked his grandchildren. They all had coronaries, fell on the ground. Grandpa's going to game with us. Grandpa got online. Grandpa began gaming with these people. As Grandpa was gaming with his grandchildren, Grandpa began finding out that he was gaming with people from Russia and from India and from China and from Japan, because there's people in all of these countries playing the same game. And those of you who know how to game, you realize when you're on there, you're playing internationally. You're not just playing locally. And Grandpa learned how to put his headphones on and learn how to talk to these people as they were gaming online. And over a period of time, as Grandpa learned how to game with his grandkids, Grandpa began realizing that he was talking to people around the world, and he began talking to people who were in bondage to lesbianism and homosexuality. Grandpa was a born-again, spirit-filled believer. As Grandpa built relationship, because when you put your profile on and you say, I'm a 60-year-old from so-and-so, all of these young people are going, we got a dinosaur on here. This is amazing. I have never met a dinosaur. And the gravitation of these young people began going toward Grandpa. Grandpa began sharing and talking with these young people. These young people in bondage to sexual sin began getting saved. A prophetic word had been spoken over Grandpa about 3 years before that time, a prophetic word in their church that said, you will have an international ministry that will touch thousands of people. Grandpa received that word and said, I have never left Alberta, let alone Westlock. How will I ever have an international ministry? Can I tell you today, some 6-7 years after Grandpa got online with his grandkids and opened up, today over 2 million young men and women from around the world in bondage to homosexuality have gone onto his site, have prayed the prayer to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, have been delivered from their bondage. Over 700,000 are involved in small care groups around the globe that Grandpa has put the curriculum together. Grandpa has been used to change. God bless Grandpa. We often look and go, how could I, in Sleepy Camrose doing my job, ever have an impact on this globe? I haven't even reached my neighbor for Jesus. If there really is power in the prayer of a righteous person, that would mean you and I have the ability right where we are, if all we did, and it's not all we'll do, but if all we did was learn how to wield the weapon of prayer, can I tell you, we would change things internationally. We would change things in our government. We would change things in our city hall. We would change things simply by being effective and powerful in that one area. I want to expose you to 4 things this morning that the Holy Spirit has just said, Colin, you need to highlight, you need to profile, you need to bring it to our attention. How many of you had a chance this past week to go online and look at the explosion that took place in Beirut last Tuesday? How many of you saw that? Just raise your hand high. How many of you? How many of you are like me going, wow? A couple things really quick. As we're aware, the fire took place in the factory that held fireworks. Right beside it was another warehouse that was full of ammonia that was used in olden days to be fertilizer on farms. They don't use that anymore, although we'll talk about in Israel they do use that. Now they use that in order to create bombs. Some of you are aware of the Oklahoma bombing. There was one ton in the vehicle of the person in the Oklahoma bombing 16-some years ago that blew up that whole thing. There was 1 ton of this ammonia in his vehicle. 1 ton. In that warehouse that blew up in Beirut was 2,700 tons. 2,700 tons. That ammonia was taken from a ship that was going through the Mediterranean. The Lebanese got hold of that ship, brought it to their land, brought it into the port of Beirut, put it inside that building, and under the control of Hezbollah. Hezbollah has used that ammonia in order to do bombings in the United States, to do bombing around the world. That ammonia had an agenda. Hezbollah had an agenda for that ammonia. That explosion, 3.5 on the Richter scale. It was not a nuclear blow-up, but if you saw the plumes, they said it looked exactly like a nuclear explosion. The hole that it left in the ground, what it did to the concrete, the power of that, 10 miles diameter, 5 miles in every direction, decimated as that went out, just like waves going. Still digging through, still finding the dead, thousands injured, casualties, unbelievable. I want you to hear a clip. And I want you to hear this for two purposes. I want you to hear, we're not going to play the whole thing, it's 50-some minutes long. We're only going to about 5 minutes. I want you to hear a little bit of it. I want you to become more aware of who's doing it. I would like you to write down the name Amir Sarfati, M-A-M-I-R. I have no idea how to spell Sarfati. But would you write down, behold Israel. Behold Israel. This is an individual, an Israeli, who was part of the Israeli military that God raised up a number of years ago, who began as a born-again Christian, giving intel and insight into what happened in the Middle East. Over the last number of years, God has brought him to a point where he has tens of millions of people who follow him because of the fact that he is giving the truth about what's going on that you and I will never hear on CTV, never hear on Fox News, never hear on CNN. You will never hear. I can't tell you how many people in the last little while who have come and said, Colin, where do you get your news from? You always talk about getting it from another source, getting it from not the mainstream. I want you to hear, behold Israel, Amir Sarfati. If you walk out of here today and you put that on your news feed, today will have been worth it all. I want you to hear just a short clip that they did only a handful of hours, 25 or 27 hours after the Beirut explosion. He is talking with an anchor from Israel and talking about what took place. Again, we're just going to watch 5 or 6 minutes, then I'm going to cut it off and we'll talk a little bit more. Let's run it. Let's go. Can't find it? Okay. Let me say a couple things while they're doing it. If it comes up, great. If not, that's totally fine. I would like you to watch this sometime, 50-some minutes, where he interviews this and gives background information, gives military intel, gives Israeli intel as to what's going on. One of the things he revealed is that one of the leaders of Lebanon 3 years ago made a statement and said that the day is coming when they are going to wipe Haifa off the map by going in and exploding the storage warehouses that are full of ammonia in Haifa. In Haifa, Israel, they have storage areas where they have this ammonia. They use the ammonia for agriculture in Israel. If anybody knows anything about agriculture in Israel, it is some of the top notch in the world. They have taken absolute wasteland, desert, and turned it into prosperity, turned it into the Garden of Eden. If you've ever been to Israel, it is unbelievable what they have done. 3 years ago, he made a statement and said, we are going to wipe Israel, Haifa, off the map by exploding their ammonia. 3 years later, Beirut disappeared as a result of the very same thing. You got it? I'll carry on later. Okay.
Unbelievable.
All right. So that is just the first 5 minutes. Just want you to get a sense. Amir Safadi, he's got stuff going back. You can pull up all kinds of topics he's talked about. I encourage you to go and watch the full 50 minutes of what this is about. Kind of interesting things. Couple, Jane, if you can come, I want you to talk about that Lebanese lady. Couple things. As soon as it happened, the very first country that lended aid contacted Lebanon in order to help them in the midst of the explosion. Guess which country? Israel was the first country to contact Lebanon. Lebanon did not respond. Would not receive Israeli aid at all. So there has been countries that have been going. France has a close connection with Lebanon. Canada has given $5 million to help with the aid through the Red Cross and a number of different organizations. So there has been a lot of international response that's been going on. But kind of interesting that Israel and their desire to go and help would be absolutely rejected. One thing Amir at the very end of this talks about, he says, the Bible declares that Damascus, the city of Damascus, will be literally obliterated and destroyed before the end. And he made a statement, he said, isn't it interesting that we have seen the city of Beirut with one explosion literally be decimated with one explosion? He goes, it kind of puts in perspective what could happen or will happen in Damascus, where in one day Damascus will be literally destroyed off the face of the map. Beginning to think end time, beginning to think prophetic fulfillment, beginning to think of what could take place. We're going to pray in just a moment, but yesterday during men's breakfast, Jane was up in Edmonton and did a few things, came back and just shared with me a conversation that she ended up having with a lady from Lebanon. Would you just share that?
Yeah, so this, I asked her.
Wayne, could you just turn up number two?
Oh,
thanks.
I asked her if she still had family there, and she said yes, she still has connections there. And, I mean, maybe most of us aren't aware, but Lebanon really has been falling apart for quite a long time now. And it's primarily because of the terrorist group Hezbollah is really running the government without really being in the political positions.
Well, while I remember,
mm-hmm.
The explosion took place on Tuesday. On Friday, there was going to be a judicial hearing to deal with the four men who assassinated the Lebanese president back in 2005. Those four men have not been in jail. They have been able to run free. Friday was going to be the day that those four men were going to appear in court and they were going to deal with the assassination of the president back in 2005. This took place 3 days before, and that hearing was postponed.
Right. And this President Nasrallah, who is supposedly leading Lebanon right now, he and some other people skipped the country just yesterday or the day before as
right.
well. The corruption is, we can't even get our heads around. We think we got corruption here. We can't even get our heads around the type of corruption that those people are dealing with. But anyway, not to get sidetracked here. So I asked this lady a few questions, and she was sharing that her friends or relatives, whichever it was, I said, were they affected by the blast? She said they were several miles away. And she said the worst that they had to deal with is all the broken glass. Their house ended up with all broken glass. And they were several miles away from the explosion. And people are missing still. They're still digging people out of the rubble, etc. But she made another comment, and I thought, isn't this interesting? She said, for quite some time now, the people, the economy there is in a shambles, and the people have very little to work with, and the government will not let them take their money out of the bank. The government won't let them take their money out of the bank. And my alarm starts going off, because I know we have that same kind of legislation available to be enacted here in Canada as well. But that would be the extent of my story, right?
Right. All right. We could talk a lot more about it, but we won't. We got to do a few other things. But I, again, want to encourage you to go online, to look it up, the Beirut report, and look at the full 50 minutes. These guys have Israeli intelligence and intelligence all throughout the Middle East that you and I will never hear about otherwise. The one thing we need to do today, and I want to do it after I share each one of them, is we need to pray. there was a call to be praying for the Christians in Lebanon at this time whose lives are being affected as well. And as Christians, instead of retreating when this stuff happens, the Christians have a way of rising up. They did it in China right after they released the virus. In Lebanon, the Christians are doing the same thing. These are our brothers and sisters. God has the ability to bring good out of disaster. And so part of our prayer is that in the midst of this, as Amir prayed, in the midst of all that's going on, that we could pray that the Spirit of God would move powerfully. They'd get to a point where they realize their need for God, that the way they're doing things is not working, and there would be a mini revival come out of this. That's what we're believing, maybe even a major. So if you would bow with me this morning, I would like you to take just a couple minutes of quiet. For some of you, this is the first you're hearing about any of this stuff, and so it's like, oh my goodness, I don't know. Let me just say it again. I believe as believers, we need to be the most informed people on the planet so that our prayers can come in line with effectiveness. Would you take a couple minutes this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you as you pray for the circumstance in Lebanon, the believers in Lebanon, the countries that are going in, even for Canada that's going in to help with a relief effort? Let's take a couple minutes and pray. Father, we see it on the news, but it is absolutely surreal. It's like watching 9/11 and thinking it's part of a movie and can't be real. But Father, you are calling us as believers with eyes wide open to begin to know the times that we live in, to see how things are being put together, to see the pieces fall into place, to see. You are wanting us to know ahead of time so that when it happens, we're not caught off guard, but we are already in a position of prayer, already in a position to have a word. And so I thank you for your church around the globe that is praying and warring and lifting up what's happening in Lebanon, praying and lifting up the believers in Lebanon, praying for those who in the midst of this are going to begin seeking you. They're going to recognize that Allah was not there for them. They're going to recognize that their leadership is not there, that Hezbollah, the terrorist, is not there. God, we're believing that there is going to be an awakening that happens in Lebanon as a result of this. And I ask, Father, for the relief workers that go in. I am so thankful that so many relief workers are born again, spirit-filled believers who believe that they put their hands and their feet to their faith. And as they go and as they minister, they have opportunity, open doors, the ability to share, the ability to pray. Father, would you let there be a flood of your Spirit-filled children enter into that nation? And Holy Spirit, would you bring it into our radar that not only would we be informed, but Father, as we pray, we would recognize that our prayers can be powerful and effective in changing what's going on across the globe. So we lift this to you. We trust you to do what only you can do. Bring good when the enemy intended for evil, you turn and work it for good. I release a special grace over every family that today is grieving over the loss of loved ones. Those who have family that are suffered, have lost limbs, will never be the same again, who have been maimed apart from your healing for life. We release a grace as they seek to pick up the pieces. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. Want to shift your focus to another part of the country, another part of the globe, the country of Australia. How many of you are aware of what's going on in Australia right now? How many of you are aware? A few of you. Can anybody give me just a few highlights of what you're aware is going on in Australia? Just shoot them out to me. Level 4 lockdown. Curfew. A curfew that is being enforced by military and police. Curfew. So the reason I want to show this to you, Australia is a Commonwealth country like we are. Australia has a born-again prime minister. A born-again prime minister. He's a believer. I want you to understand the pressure that political leadership has in the midst of this, regardless of what they might believe, regardless of the truth that is out there. We had some great discussion yesterday in men's group. There are a lot of people having to choose to comply because their livelihood, their professions, their income, their mortgages, all of that are dependent upon them either doing it or being removed. Let me just say today, if you are an RCMP or a city police and you refuse to follow the mandate of the mask, you can no longer work. Okay? This is not Beirut. This is not China. This is Canada. So there are people who are complying for the sake of economics, whether they believe it or not. Let me just say it again. There are things that we may have to comply with until it comes to a point where we cross that line of faith. We're going to talk about that in a minute, because there's a part of the world today that's experiencing what they've never experienced before, and we're going to touch that. But I want you to see just a two-minute clip coming out of Australia, Al Jazeera News, and just get a little taste of what a stage four lockdown, and I want to show you this because of the fact that we are being positioned in our country, in our province, for a stage four coming in September. You need to be aware of this. The talk of the second wave, the talk of closing up the businesses, of closing things down, of making things tighter. Whether the medical part is a reality or not, the agenda is making its way through. I want you to hear the two-minute report out of Al Jazeera coming out of Australia. Just watch this. What I want you to hear, and I want you to be prepared for a stage four lockdown. Did you hear a few things on there that you just shake your head at? One of them is they're saying that now it is law that you need to be in your home, and you cannot leave your home unless you have a medical reason to leave your home. They're making a statement saying there is no reason for anyone to leave their home unless you have a medical reason, and if you leave and you cannot identify that medical reason, this is going to be very difficult for you. To hear them make a statement and say, we are having to smash through the windows of vehicles because people are not opening up, not telling us the information. We're smashing them through, dragging them out to find out why they're there. They shouldn't be there. Military presence in order to make sure that curfew is being adhered to. Martial law. Let me just tell you what you already know, that Canada, under our Prime Minister, has already made an agreement with Chinese military to come into Canada and help enforce martial law or mandatory curfew if needed. Seems like a movie? We need to be aware again that in parts of the world, this is moving to new levels that we haven't seen. We've experienced in the last 4 months levels that we have never thought would happen in our lifetime. As this begins moving to a place, it's not a matter of whether we agree or not. It's not a matter of whether we shake our head or not. It's a matter of if and when this happens, how are we going to respond? The first thing, and we're going to do it in a moment, is we need to be in prayer for the Australian people and be in prayer for its leadership, a born-again, spirit-filled prime minister who is having to make these calls and allowing the premiers of their different states or provinces to make those calls. We need to be in prayer for them. We need to be in prayer for the believers and the churches that are being affected. When you're not allowed to leave your home, how does that affect the church? How does that affect the gathering? We know that. Let me just ask you one question. Would you raise your hand? How many of you have ever lived or been in a place where you have had to adhere to a curfew, and that curfew was authority, police and military protected, secured? How many of you have ever been in a place like that? Two. Jane and I had opportunity when we took Sam to California when she worked for Disney for a year. We got down there one day before the hurricane hit. Curfew was imposed. You were not allowed to leave your residence, leave your apartment, leave your hotel. You were not allowed to go on the street. Everything was closed down, every store, every bank, every church, everything. We had a curfew of 78 hours. We were locked down on Friday night. We weren't allowed to legally get out until Monday at 6 o'clock in the evening. If you were found on the road, you would be charged, taken to prison. We experienced that for 3 days, and it was weather-related. There are people in Australia today experiencing a six-week military enforced curfew, martial law. If they choose to break it, they're being taken to prison. I don't care what you believe about this. All I'm saying is, if we move to stage four, if the world moves in its agenda to the end to stage four, you and I will have to respond. We're not going to talk a lot about that today, but can I just say one thing to you? Would you let every response that you have, regardless of what's coming, would you let it be Christ-like in your character? Would you let it be Christ-like? Would you let it be Spirit-led? Yesterday we talked very clearly, do not allow the spirit of rebellion to get inside of you. Do not allow the spirit of anger to flow through you. Do not allow the enemy to use you to be part of the problem instead of being a light and being a part of the solution. Emily. 8 to 5. 8 at night till 5 in the morning, they are not allowed to leave to be out anything. But even from 5 in the morning till 8 at night, you are not allowed to leave your home. Only one person is allowed to leave at a time to go get food and come back again. But apart from that, there is no leaving your residence. None. For 1 hour, that's right. 1 hour to go and come back again. That's happening today. This Sunday in Australia, in Victoria, that's happening today. Let me say again, 2 Sundays ago, when we talked about the possibility that between now and the end, we may experience mandatory mask wearing, did not realize that 2 days later, Calgary would make mandatory mask wearing, Edmonton would make mandatory mask wearing. Those of you who've been in Edmonton, you are aware that when you go into places, you better have your mask. If I were to say to you that come September, Alberta, Canada, we may experience stage 4 lockdown. Right now, it appears like, are you kidding? That is happening in other parts of the world. Can I just say to you, don't be shocked. As a believer, be in prayer, be prepared, and let your response be Christ-like. Would you bow with me just for a couple minutes and allow the Holy Spirit? Every person in Australia, Victoria specifically, is having to respond. Every Christian, every pastor, every church. As we heard on there, the effect on the Australian economy, even though this is a 6-week stage 4 lockdown, they're going, the devastating effect on the economy could affect Australia's economy for the year and long beyond. Let me just say it to you again. It has come out where they have said that those behind the coronavirus agenda couldn't care less if they destroyed every economy in the world as long as the President of the United States is not reelected in November. For those of us with eyes wide open, we are aware this is not medical. This is so much more. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you? Would you pray for those in Australia being affected by stage 4 right now? Just take a couple minutes. Father, you have told us in your word that there are times when we go to pray about something that we don't even know how to pray. But it's in those times, Holy Spirit, that you have said you would come, you would pray through us. We open our mouth, we allow you to pray through us in a heavenly language and pray in accordance with the will of God. Spirit of God, we invite you to flow through us as we lift up before you the circumstances going around across this globe. Would you awaken inside of us the power of prayer as you pray through us? Thank you again that you are God everywhere present, that even now you are with every person in stage 4 lockdown. I pray for wisdom over the spiritual leaders. I pray for wisdom over the godly people at government levels from the prime minister down. Holy Spirit, would you lead them? Would you guide them? Would you unveil them? Would you allow them to know the truth and give them a wisdom from heaven as they navigate through this time? Thank you for hearing the prayers of your people. And we look for the good coming from it. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to shift your attention to another part of the globe. How many of you are aware of what's going on in California today? Today. Just raise your hand. This past week, the governor of California, Democratic governor, announced that because of COVID, because of all that is going on, because of the infection and the new wave of spread, that every church in California is to be locked up. Churches are no longer able to have worship services. They are going door to door. They're talking to pastors. I want you to hear, and again, I want you to hear this, but I also want you to awaken you to another information feed. Would you write down the name Jack Hibbs? Jack Hibbs. And write down Happening Now. Happening Now is the program, the YouTube program that you can go on and hear. Conversation between Jack Hibbs and Don Stewart, who are bringing to highlight a lot of what is going on in the United States and North America. I want to make one just qualifier. You've heard me say this over and over and again, whether you read a book, whether you're listening to a program, it doesn't matter what, you glean and screen. There are those things you look and go, yes, I believe that, that's biblical, you take it. There are those you look at and go, no, I don't agree with that, but I'm taking all the good information. You don't have to swallow everything in a book to read it. In this area, there is a pile of excellent information. There is some theology in it that I am not in agreement with. You can choose on your own. But the information that comes as to what is going on is significant enough to be exposed to it, to make yourself aware of it, and I believe you have the maturity to discern the difference. But I want you to hear from him a glimpse of what is actually happening today. This came a few days ago in preparation for what's happening, and I want you to hear just the response. We'll talk about it in a bit. Today. Today in California, this is going on. Let me make a couple things really clear. He talked about, and we've talked about, until. There's a line, until. They're in a Democratic state. That Democratic state is against the evangelical church. They have an agenda because the Democratic state is a pro-child killing agenda. They are against any organization or church which is pro-life. What you heard him say is they're coming to us and saying, Pastor, you need to stop preaching. Our government has not said that yet. They did reduce our numbers down to 15, but they never said stop preaching. They increased it to 50, but they did not say stop preaching. They said divide your chairs 6 feet apart, but they did not say stop preaching. In our province, and I want you to hear this, we have a premier and we have a health minister who are pro-church. California has an anti-church government agenda. He made a statement, powerful. He said if they can keep the church closed until November. The Bible talks about there being watchmen on the wall who, when they see stuff happening, they're on the wall. They are trumpeting what is going on so that people can hear it. They're wanting to shut down the watchmen on the wall going into the next U.S. election. We're not there yet. But isn't it crazy to think that a letter could come to the church that goes, close your door or you'll be fined $1,000 a day. Close your door or you'll be in prison 60 to 90 days. Close your door or we'll shut off your power and your water. Close your door or we'll chain up the church. Today, August 9, 2020, California, USA. Not communist China. Guys, we need to be in prayer for them. But what I want you to hear is right now in this nation, we also have a liberal anti-church leadership. I want you to be aware that the day may come when we get that letter, when we have to make that choice. Right now, that is not a choice we have to make. But in California, they're making it today. I want you to be aware in the news, you're going to find out that tens of thousands of churches in California were closed today. They did not open their doors. You're going to find that there were some who took what he had to say and they said, we're staying open regardless. Let the consequence come. Let them do an audit. Let them fine us $1,000 a day or $120,000 if you defy, or pastors, you're going to jail. There are those that are going to press the line and stand against it. They will. Can I just say this to you? Do you think that is going to change the ultimate agenda moving up to the rapture? Let me tell you what I told the men yesterday. Every individual has to do it. Every church has to do it. You make sure when it comes down to what is being put in front of you that you go to the Spirit of God and say, Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? Can I tell you? If the Spirit of God tells you to wear a mask, you wear it. If the Spirit of God tells you not to wear a mask, you don't wear it. You don't look at what I'm doing. You don't look at what the person beside you is doing. You go to the Spirit of God. You say, Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? There's going to be those who are called to stand up against it. There's going to be those who call, no, just wear the mask. Don't. This is not the hill for you to die on. You need to know what the Spirit's calling you to do. Let me say it again. When this whole thing happened, we still have churches in Alberta in Camrose that are still not open. Don't judge them. If as leadership they have prayed and made a decision to close the church and go online, don't judge them. There's other ones who defied it all the way through and they stayed open. Don't judge them. All we have to do is, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? And I believe God will be as faithful in our future as he has been in our past as we go to him and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? Do you know what? If we're faced with any of this, the Spirit will let us know exactly what to do. And just let me say this to you really clearly. If ever a time we as the church make a decision that you're not in agreement with, and that likely will happen, you'll have a choice to make. There are churches today that made decisions to remain completely open and defy all this. There were people who were opposed to that in the church and said, I can't adhere to that. I'm not going anymore to that church. If that's where you're at, you make that decision. We as leadership will do the best we can to hear the Spirit of God in every circumstance and do what we believe God is calling us to do. But if you don't agree, if you have a contrary opinion, if you can't be a part of what we're doing here as we are waiting on God and asking him, if you can't, then just make a decision and go, I can't go to that church right now. That'll be okay. But what I would ask is that you would pray for us as leadership as we make those decisions. But today, we need to be in prayer for the tens of thousands of churches in California who are right now under attack from a democratic, anti-Christ government who is seeking to shut them down, shut their voice because of an agenda coming in November. Can I just ask you clearly, what's happening in November? Do you remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the globalist agenda that right now has a big plug that is keeping it from moving forward? That big plug is the U.S. president. And we're believing that that plug remains for another 4 years, and I'm believing that that plug remains as Mike Pence becomes the next president after President Trump. Would you bow with me? I invite you to take a couple minutes, allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you as we pray for Christians, pastors, churches, as they all have to make decision in the midst of this, what they're going to do, how they're going to respond. Let's lift the body of Christ before the Lord in California today. Let's lift them. Father, you have said in your word that if in any circumstance we lack wisdom, we can ask you and you will give it liberally. I ask for an outpouring of your wisdom upon every spiritual leader in California today. Every pastor, every elder, every deacon, every leadership team member, Father, that you would pour out a wisdom as they are dealing with the serpent, the wisdom that you give is greater than that of the enemy. That's what your word says. I pray today they would get it. And Father, you do have a way. We read in your word that over and over and over you have sent confusion into the camp of the enemy. You turned the enemy upon itself and destroyed the enemy in order for your agenda to move forward. Today we release a spirit of confusion upon the enemy in California. We declare today that you are the one who fights this battle. We declare that the church will rise out of this with greater strength, greater influence, greater power, greater authority. For the glory of your name. Release your grace over the body of Christ in California today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. One more thing very quickly before we go. Can I just remind you again that you are not part of a religious church? If you were, you wouldn't be here for 3 hours. Can I just say that to you? This past weekend, Fort Worth, Texas was the Believers Conference. They had to change a few things because of all the regulations and rules. They changed some things, yet they opened it up, had the speakers come in. Some of you watched it online. If you haven't, I encourage you to go back and do that. We're going to get the DVD series. We're going to be watching the Believers Conference again Wednesday evening, going through every one of those messages and dissecting them and having discussion. In the conference, though, there was a word that was spoken by Kenneth Copeland. At times when they're ministering and worshiping, he is the anointing of a prophet, and he prophetically declares, they record them, they watch the prophecies that he has spoken, unbelievably come alive over the last 50 years of his ministry, very powerful. He had a very short statement about Canada. As they were ministering, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he released a word over Canada, and as we watched it, just felt very strong in our spirits that we needed to show that so that we can hear it today in this church and hear it for those online who are hearing it, but a prophetic word over Canada. I would like you to just listen to it now.
Canada are coming to a place.
Dana, could I have you just come and play quietly? What did you hear in that word? Prophecy doesn't have to be long to be powerful. What did you hear? God is coming back to being first place in this nation. We've struggled with that. It's not coming. He goes, it's here. Would you bow with me? Father, we again want to say thank you that you have chosen for us to be born in this nation, for us to immigrate to this nation, for us to be Canadian citizens. And the power and the authority you've given us as Canadian citizens to pray, to war, to believe, to be salt, to be light in this nation. You have called your children all down through time to hear the words of the prophet and agree with the prophet and to watch those prophetic words come to pass. And so today, as Canadians in this place, in spite of what's going on all over the world, we receive the word that Canada is coming back as a nation to put God first. That all of the demonic agendas, all of the designs of the enemy, all of the antichrist spirits have lost their effectiveness, are falling powerless to the ground, and the power of God is rising up. And God, you are taking back your place to be Lord over this nation. We agree with the words of the prophet. We declare today that Canada is a God-fearing nation from our prime minister to our kindergarten classes. And Father, we invite you to use us. We invite you to use our prayers. We invite you to use our declarations. We invite you to use our authority to declare what's not yet as though it already were. Thank you for that word. We believe it, we receive it, and we say thank you for its manifestation. Father, I thank you again for reminding us that because of you inside of us, because you have made us your children, that as we come to you in prayer, there is incredible power and effectiveness in that prayer. Thank you for what took place in the halls of our city hall last Tuesday. Thank you for that. Thank you for hearing the prayers of your people concerning what's going on in Lebanon today. Thank you for that. Thank you for hearing our prayers concerning what's happening in Australia. Thank you for that. Thank you for hearing our prayers concerning what's going on today in California. Thank you for that. Would you awaken inside of us the power and effectiveness of our prayer? And I declare over those who have no prayer life that today it is awakened. I declare over those who have given 5 minutes to prayer that today it is moving to 50. I declare that in Jesus' name. I declare over couples who do not pray together in this place that today couple prayer begins and remains effective and consistent. I declare that prayer lives in this place are rising up to a new level of warfare, a new level of authority, a new level of power. And without having to leave our feed mill in Westlock, we change the world. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for your children all across this globe who are standing up, who are declaring your word, who are not shrinking back. And thank you for calling us to be believers during this time in history. What an amazing, amazing privilege. Seal what you have done here today. We have prayed before we began that when we left here today, we would never be the same again. We believe it, we receive it, and we say thank you for it. As a child of God, I declare to you what you already know. The Lord has blessed you, and He's keeping you. He's keeping you. The Lord has caused His face to shine onto you, and He's been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up His countenance upon you, and He has packed you full of His peace. I declare that with boldness because that is the word of the Lord. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody believing and receiving said, Amen. God bless you, church. Those of you online, God bless you. Thank you for hanging in there with us. Have an awesome week. And we'll see you next Sunday, same time, same place.